Dude, cold and rainy and just generally nasty out here, but the leaves are starting to change colors, so I'm excited. I enjoy this time of year. We got a shitload to talk about.
So much.
Yankees, Thunder, college football. But really, what grabs all the headlines right now, bro, is something we were talking about the other day. The NBL, you know, still letting the NBA know that they mean business. And then we end up with some young players last night that just really took over everything. Victor Wembanyama, 37 points. Scoot Henderson, 28 points, 9 assists. We're talking about the potential number one and number two draft picks playing what was billed as kind of a preseason game, but it showed out to be so much more than that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we both are pretty excited about in general, to be able to watch what they've been calling a generational talent. And we hear that dropped a lot. It's kind of overused.
Two of them, bro, right?
American professional sports, you know?
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, seriously, Scoot Henderson doesn't get as much attention right now because he's not 7'5". But when you watch him play, man, it's really hard to argue that he's anything other than a player that, if you want to go historical, like I think of like a Jay Williams or Jason Williams as he was known at Duke.
Yeah.
Like that guy was drafted only behind who? Yao Ming, a 7'6" player. Like some of these guys are so good that like you have to go back and be like, when would they not go number one? And yeah, I mean, I'll let you talk. I mean, I'm just going to
I look at this and I say
highlights in the background of Scoot and Victor from last night. I feel like, to me, it's a problem when you have players this good playing in non-NBA, you know, competition, because they should be allowed to be in the NBA. They're that damn good, bro. They're that damn good.
Yeah, and we've been saying for a while that the NBA needs to readjust their age limit. They need to readjust everything else like that, especially with everything that's been happening with far as money goes right now. We watched Timmy come out and say, hey, I'm going to make $500,000 next year by playing at Gonzaga. So now there's all this money that's in college hoops, that's in G League, that these guys are making now. You have to go out now as an NBA and readjust everything so that these younger players have at least an option to come into the league at a younger age, play 1 year in G League, by drafted by a team, play a year in G League, and then go play on the NBA. Like,
yeah,
that needs to be what we're talking about, because the reality is that, you know, seeing these two 18-year-olds, almost 19-year-olds play against each other, it's like, I mean, these guys would be starting on most teams in the NBA.
And yeah, I mean, Scoot, to me, like, especially since he played G League last year and then coming back and playing this year.
Is Scoot better than Jaden Ivey?
Yes.
Is Scoot better than Cade Cunningham?
Well, yes, but I would say this. I understand why people want to be more patient with Cade at this point and not just give it up. But if you see this dunk, he takes off a step inside the free throw line.
Yeah.
Cocks it all the way back. And when you watch it from the other angle, he's at the rim so fast, he could have done it from a step further back.
So, I mean, as generational player, like you said, a generational talent, where do you think he ranks as far as athlete, scorer, just straight up baller? Where do you think he ranks as far as guys that are 18 years old that came into the league?
Pound for pound, the best player in the history of the league.
You think?
I really think so, man.
Really?
I think because you look at him, you're talking about, like, does he have that signature move like Allen Iverson? No. But I look at a player who has Allen Iverson's, like, level of ability to dominate a game. On top of that, he's actually a true point guard instead of a shooting guard in a point guard's body.
Sure.
Right? So I think he'll play a little bit better in the modern game.
That makes sense.
Than Iverson would fit. He can shoot the ball from behind the arc. And he's, like, if you talk about players who, like, either get to the rim or shoot the three, like, he's really good. But then you add that elbow jump shot. Like,
sure.
He kind of looks like Chris Paul out there. Like,
and he's proven that he can finish up against 7'4" guys, 7'5" guys, you know?
How many small, like, point guards that are under, you know, 6'6" or whatever, how many players under 6'5" maybe have really gone straight to the NBA. You know what I mean? It's yeah. not necessarily the traditional route. And so I don't think it's necessarily no. like a whole bunch of people were comparing him to. But I do think it's clear if he was in college basketball, he'd be the best player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he was in G League, he'd be the best player. If he was in the NBA, he'd be considered a top 20 player right now.
Yeah, he would get everybody, and he will get everybody excited about those whole like 25 under 25 lists.
Yeah.
But he might be number one on that list right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, just because of his upside. If you give him 3 years to develop, like we're talking about a true all-star. Like, and you're talking about him being maybe 21 years old and being an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, that's how many players in history? You're talking about a really small handful, and it kind of gets your mind running. And honestly, if he was playing this year, he might be an all-star.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how he matures. And it's come into the whole debate, Mark, and this is the way it's going to be, I think, for a while, is, you know, we've talked about, you know, as we're watching right here, him play for, he's playing for a French team. Am I correct right there?
Yeah, Victor, yeah.
And he's playing for a team that I believe is near where he grew up. I'm not 100% sure. I need to check these things out before I say them probably, but I, you know, watching the game, I heard some things being said, and I just don't remember which player they're talking about. But,
Victor really took over late in the game.
Yeah, like in the fourth quarter.
They were down by, like, double digits at halftime, and then Victor, like, went crazy.
Yeah, this was just showing what he could do as an athlete, as a player, and especially in the fourth quarter. But I think if you're looking at this in general and you're assessing the players here, I think it's safe to say is that nobody's ever seen a player – like Victor's caliber, and the fact that you're seeing him play here, it brings back to what Mark and I have been talking about for a while. Like, where do we, if we had children, if we had kids, where would we want them to go play? Where would we want them to go learn how to play the modern NBA basketball if our child was a star, an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid that was going to be in the NBA? Where would we want them to go play their year before the NBA? And we've gone back and forth about the French League. They have some great youth organizations. We've talked about Australia, New Zealand. We've talked about, obviously the NBL. There's great leagues in the Spanish League and so on and so forth, the European League. They have great teams, right, guys? But when push comes to shove, for pound, like we like to say around here, is there's no better league, in my opinion, of teaching NBA basketball than the NBL. And when you're seeing a player like Victor, you're saying, oh, great, look at what he can do against the G League Ignite. But if you're looking at G League Ignite versus NBL, right, obviously the NBL is a much better league than the G League. And
so would you tell Scoot he should go to the to NBL?
Yes.
If you were...
Yes.
Yeah?
I would tell Scoot. I would tell any 18-year-old player that's an elite player to go there because... Yes, G League is going to get you the minutes and teach you how to play the game, but the one thing it's not going to teach you is how to be a man out there.
Yeah.
And that's something the NBL teaches you, is you're playing against full-grown fucking men, pushing your buttons, throwing you around, and that's what they need. Like, the G League has good defense and stuff like that, but the reality is if you're comparing leagues and comparing what you can learn in the NBL versus the G League, it's no contest. And the same is for college for me. I would rather my kids go to the G League than go to college at this point, because I know that the G League's, again, going to teach them the right steps for the NBA. I'm not saying college is a bad way of going, but I am saying that college should be a little bit lower on the list than everything else. And you're seeing what we're seeing here, and you're saying, well, this is great, but when push comes to shove, Mark, and this is what I get back to with these guys, is you don't know how they're going to play until they get that man-to-man contact. God, that sounds so dirty. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that physical, rough and tough and throwing them around, you don't know how they're going to play in the NBA until you see that. But if they play in the NBL, you know that that's going to translate. You know it. Because of the style they're teaching them how to play is very similar. It's very rough. It's very in your face. And I have to say is, for me, you look at Josh Giddey, you look at LaMelo Ball as the two young point guards coming up from this league. And I say this with all due respect to all the other point guards in the league, but those two point guards, as far as young point guards in the league, those are the two of the five point guards that everybody circles and says, this is the next generation of point guards. That's two of the five right there. And they come from the NBL. And that's not a mistake by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't a mistake that LeVar Ball decided to stick his son in the NBL for a year. You know, like he knew exactly what the NBL was going to teach him. And this can go back down to Dave Simmons when he stuck Ben in there, Ben Simmons and playing and stuff like that. Like this is designed, like this league is designed to teach you. And whether you only play in the youth league and you never get to the professional side, like Josh Giddey played for the Melbourne Tigers in the youth league, and then he switched over to the 36ers in the adult league or the professional league. Like this is the stuff that teaches you. Like they man, the way the NBL does it is the proper way. And I get excited about any opportunity that we see to have a player that is a top tier player go to the NBL. And you know, we will in future episodes talk about some of the highlighted players of the coming up years that we want to see go to the NBL and some rumors that we want to throw out there too. But the reality is that when push comes to shove, if I'm a dad and I'm a professional athlete and I'm saying my son can go anywhere he wants to play basketball, where would I help him lean towards? It's not college. It's not G League. It's the NBL. I know he's going to get taken care of. I know the way they play basketball is going to be good for him, and they're going to teach him how to play a man sport that is very similar to the way the NBA is played now. So that's what I would say.
So you mentioned somebody in there. Let's talk about him. How much do you think LaMelo Ball opened the floodgates as far as like players? Because, I mean, yeah, you could say Ben Simmons, but this idea of taking a year, and by the way, a player we didn't mention is Terrence Ferguson, who did that from the U.S. and went to the NBL, somebody the Thunder drafted. But, like, I feel like, for real, LaMelo Ball made it like, okay, this is, you can do this and come into the NBA better prepared than you would have been by dicking around in the G League.
Yeah. I mean, I think of Ball as being a great example. If Ball had gone to college, bro, like, he would have probably flunked out. Got in trouble for having sex with everybody on campus, right?
Taking money when he's
and all these
up,
other
right?
Shit.
Right.
What's that? Being a college
student,
they
wouldn't
man,
get
right?
you in trouble for it. You couldn't get in trouble for it now, but back then he would have got in trouble for taking endorsement deals, right?
Like, exactly. And then my when push that. Comes to shove, right, is having a child, a wild child like LaMelo is, and. I'm all there. I'm all for it, what he's doing and how he's handling his life right now. But having somebody like that and putting him in a place that's going to teach him professional habits, and we've talked a lot about that with, you know, the Thunder podcast, is what's professional habits? Like, how to have those professional habits? And you see somebody like LaMelo Ball who's truly learning how to have professional habits in the NBL. Because if he had gone to college, if he had gone to G League, right – it wouldn't have been the same type of discipline and understanding of what it's going to be like. He got an education that way. And that's why it's important when you're seeing these young men like LaMelo Ball come through and they're more of a man they were when they went there, right? And then you're seeing players like Josh Giddey that's just changing the name of the game. I mean, look what he did the other night, man. Like, what was it, 12 point or 14 points, whatever, 12 points. 12 rebounds and 9 assists, man.
Yeah.
Like borderline triple double. And he did that in 24 or 25 minutes. And like, that's what we've been saying. Like you asked me in a podcast before, he said, how many triple doubles do you think, Giddey's going to get in the first 11 games?
Yeah. That's my favorite question. Dude. I love that question.
And I said 4 because he knows how to score more. And if this is what we're going to get from Josh Mark.
Yeah,
I mean,
remember
he's going to be.
Remember,
he's
I told
be a
you
20
before
year
the game,
old,
bro.
That averages a triple double.
I said, be cautious, bro. I said, be cautious because everything that happens in preseason can either get you overexcited or too depressed. So I'm with you, but it's like you have to recognize. Yes, he has the skill set. He can go out there and pick up 10 rebounds and 10 assists.
But it comes to
and
the
now,
NBL.
Seemingly 10 points easy, but he's got to knock down that three because, like you said, he had 14 points, but he knocked down 2 3-pointers. So that's really the key to the triple doubles is that 3-point shot.
You're right. And, you know, that's why we have Coach England there, you know, and listen, it just gets back to what the NBL has taught Josh Giddey and why it's so important that we see this improvement with Josh Giddey. We see this improvement with LaMelo Ball. You know, we can go down the list of guys that have started their careers off in the NBL and come through the system. So I don't know, man. I'm a huge fan of what's happening. Osman Jang is my, you know, big question mark right there of, like, will he be good for the NBL? I saw him play the other night, man.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go down to the G League.
I don't think so either. He should not ever step foot in that G League. He's too NBA ready, man. He's crazy. Too NBA ready. And it's kind of crazy because, like, he's more NBA ready, I feel like, than some of our other players that we have on that team. And it's interesting because, like, if I'm looking at Baisley or Poku versus Jang, I'm like, I'm giving more minutes to Jang right now because I need to know what he can do. And is he going to be a better player than Baisley and Poku, which I'm going to have to pay Baisley, or I'm going to have to pay Poku in a year? So I need to figure out where they stack up to comparatively.
Yeah, and I understand you can look at it and be like, well, he didn't necessarily have a great game. So
it's what he showed, man.
Well, yeah.
It's the talent that he's proving that he has. It's the level of understanding. It's where he's at and the spots on the floor.
Right.
You know, like all this other stuff that Jang's doing that is, it's so like spectacular. You're like, okay. Like, you know, with young players and, you know, you're pulling up the stats right now for the Thunder. So I'm glad you're doing this. You know, with players, they kind of like stand around. They don't really know what to do. Right?
Yeah.
Well, pull up Jang's defensive rebounds real fast. Pull up a view of his defensive rebounds. It doesn't matter which one. Just all of them are the same because I want to show you this, what he does so incredibly well and why it's important to have somebody like Jang on your team, because it's not the athleticism or whatever that surprise you. It's what they do with the ball and when they get the ball. Right? Boom. Up the court. You see that?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So here we go. Another opportunity. He's there. Gets the ball. And he's up the fucking court before anything else happens. Like, that's... I mean, he's a dead sprint, bro.
Up. Right. Yeah.
Like, again, that's knowledge. He knows that if he gets up the court, look at... Boom. He's ahead of two guys already.
Yeah.
You know, like, every single rebound, it's... Boom, steps.
Right.
And, dude, and that's why his understanding for the game, you look at it and you're like, okay, this guy is ready. Now, pull up his 3-point shot that he hits, because this is another amazing shot and amazing discipline by him and understanding when to take the shot and when to pass it up. Because, right at this point, he's already, what, 1 for 5 or 1 for 3 or whatever from the 3-point line. Gets the ball at, I think, the top of the key. Right? Looks. Everybody leaves him open. Comes back.
He's not towing the line, bro.
Boom. He's
deep three.
But look at how he drive. Play it again, because he drives to the hole and he passes the ball, right?
Right.
And he doesn't take himself out of the play. What he does is he steps in between the guards or the defenders. Watch him drive to the hole, pass, boom, and then he backs up 2 steps, right? And then he comes in as between the 2 defenders, boom.
Yeah. Yep.
Every time, man. Like, that's the type of play that you see and you're like, he gets it.
Yeah.
Because
for sure.
If you don't need to sit there and teach this kid how to do all these basic stuff, like, hey, listen, your defender is going to be turning his back towards you and you could take a sidestep to your left. Like even half a sidestep, make it impossible for him to block your 3-point shot. And what does he do? He does that. Like, that's not something you can teach. He just gets it. And that's what makes me excited about the way that he plays and the way he understands the game, his knowledge for the game. It's next level. And it's why I get excited about watching Jang. I get excited about, you know, these players playing with Jang, is because he's a special player. And Kendrick Williams, man, I'm so glad you pulled him up, because he scored a bunch, right?
Yeah.
I think 8 points, but all of them were in a bunches.
Well, you know? You said moving... He knows how to move, like talking about Jang. And that, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Moving without the ball, that's what Kenny does, dude.
Yeah. And you can see it like with Kenny. Okay. All right. Freeze it right there. All right. Go back just slightly. Okay. Here we go. Trey Mann driving. Now, look at this, though. Kenny's at the elbow, but if he had gone any time sooner, right? The ball gets stopped, right? He waits just long enough and boom.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He accelerates at the right time. And everybody understands
it's the
sports.
Delay.
It's all about change of speed, change of direction, right? That's how you create opportunities. And that's what he does. He's always changing speed, he's changing direction, and he's moving to the open spot.
That's it.
And that's why him and Josh Giddey have such a great relationship out there on the court, is because he refuses to like give up on a play. He's thinking about what the other guy is seeing. And he understands, okay, if I move to the open spot at this critical moment, not before, right, but right at the right time, I'm going to find the open spot. I'm going to become an outlet for my man. The thing is, what Kenny does that's so great is he understands the difference between like a cut to an open spot and a cut to an open spot in front of the basket. And that's why him and Josh have such a great connection, is because it's critical.
Man. I want to pull up somebody that we don't get enough love to, and that's Wiggins, man. Go ahead and pull up Aaron Wiggins. I don't know, three-point shot. He has three offensive rebounds as well in this game. Phenomenal game by him, but let's go with, this one's great right here. Jalen Williams got the assist right here. Great job with him understanding what's up. It was J-Dub, wasn't it, the assist?
I can't answer you on that one because I wasn't.
Well, it looks like they might have got the wrong one there. But look at where Aaron Wiggins goes, man. Right?
Yeah.
Is he understands? Boom. Number six, Jalen. J Dub's got the ball. He's in between the defender right there. It's a beautiful, beautiful shot. I mean, beautiful shot. So Wiggins again. Look at Jalen. Williams is truly spectacular at passing the ball. Those one-handed flicks that he does, man.
Yeah.
Across court. I mean, it's sick, man. And that's the person that he's going to be able to hook up the most with is Aaron Wiggins, because another person that fills the spots really well, like Kenny Hustle, man.
Right.
You know, like he understands spacing at such an elite level. It's really incredible seeing him and Kenny Hustle on the floor, because when Trey Mann's on the floor playing point guard – with Kenny Hustle and Aaron Wiggins, you see some beautiful assists. And I think Trey Mann had only a couple assists that went in, but let's pull up some Trey Mann assists, because like this was crazy, man. Some of the way that he was able to connect and understand where the guy's cutting and where the guy's going to be at. I think we have one with Kenny Hustle where he cuts from the elbow and cuts down. It's one of them. So here we go.
We just watched that one a second ago.
Yeah. We just watched that one there.
And then there's one more assist right here from Trey Mann.
All right. And this is great because second half right here. Boom.
Poku.
All right. He watched Poku come down. He was able to get in the ball where Poku loves the ball the most. Like, I feel like Poku hits most of his shots right there. Or most of his shots that he hits are from right there, I should say. So with that being said, is like, you know, we looked at Baisley last night. I felt like he had a hard night, and what I wrote about Baisley, because it's really
all right. While you do that, bro, while you pull that up, I am going to cue J Dub scoring highlights.
All right, cool.
You want to go about Baisley first, though? You go first.
No, J Dub is just phenomenal. I mean, look at this. Look at the separation he created just before he gets down. I got to say, him out there, right there, and you can tell he's a couple years older than some of these guys, but he looks like, I mean, look at the size difference, man, against his man.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that right away when he was out there.
But
he
look behind him. Look at Wiggins.
6'9".
But look at Wiggins behind him.
Shoulder width. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He still looks small. And then there's Bones right behind him.
Yeah.
Like, they all look small compared to J-Dub, bro. All look small. And then he just flies right past
over people with contact.
His dunks that he did was amazing.
Age.
But
He's young, and that's the thing that's hard to remember, because he already looks like a professional. He's been a professional for a long time. He really does. It's
what Kenny Hustle said about him. What Kenny Hustle said about him was truly spectacular. He said that Kenny Hustle said J-Dub is a future all-star, multi-year all-star.
Really?
Yeah. And watching J-Dub on play last night, like, I don't doubt it. This guy is going to average.
He's a point guard, bro.
He's going to average 20-plus points a game multiple times in his career. I mean,
he's a point guard.
He could be a year number two averaging 20 player on points a game. That's how good he is.
He's like a 6'6", 6'7", point guard, but has the wingspan of somebody who's like 6'9", a shoulder width of somebody who's taller, has the athleticism of somebody who can just hang in the air all day long.
All day long.
Oh, and by the way, in our system, we're going to be asking him to get downhill, get to the basket, and let his passing shine.
Yep.
Like, what else do you want? Like,
it's perfect.
Like, how long can we bring him off the bench? For real, dude. How long?
Yeah. You're right, man.
Do you think it will be a long time we can bring him off the bench? Dude. Or do you think we'll have to bring him into the starting lineup fast?
You're going to have to bring him in the starting lineup. I think this team is designed to have a fourth guard on the floor, and he's a perfect fourth guard. He's big. He can hold himself against small forwards, even power forwards if he needs to. I think he's the future fourth guard with Chet on the floor. Man,
okay.
Let's pull up Bazley's block shot, man.
All right, bro.
He had two assists, but his block shot I felt like was really just kind of showing what I'm hoping Bazley will do this year is a better job at understanding where he needs to be. Like it, boom. Okay. Comes down the lane, he's there, and then he just trails it right there. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He gets out of place, and then he gets back into place really quickly. That's what.
Yeah, and you know what? Wiggins was a big part of that play, too. He was able to slide his feet, get his hips squared up, which is a tough thing to do because it didn't look like he was going to be the primary defender. But Bones is legit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Bones Highland, his explosiveness, and he's like, he's that gamer.
Oh,
he's that guy
absolutely.
You want to come off your bench that's like a spark plug that will just like fuck everything up, you know?
Yep. And what I've been saying about Bazley and what I wrote about him during this game was Bazley is making great plays and using his brain with bad results. It's like his luck meter is fucking broken.
Yeah, dude, I agree with that. It's like, you know how people press when they realize that they're like, they need to play well to ensure a spot on a team?
Yes.
That's where he was at.
Exactly. And that's why I'm not too frustrated about that. I'm cool with it, you know? Like, you know, just watching how the game developed, you know, watching Jang, J-Dub, J-Will, Bazley, and Wiggins, J-Dub playing point guard there, closing out that third quarter, man. That was beautiful, bro. Like,
I'm going to show you some highlights real quick. But I'll let you go first because I cut you off.
Oh, JRE with the giddy assist. Yeah. But, like, to me, like, this is just, again, with this team, like, there's so many young players that are such unknown assets right now. Equally being with that is we have so many sophomores that we know how they can play, and we just want to see how good they can be. Right?
Yeah.
So you look at Josh Giddey, you look at JRE, you look at Trey Mann, you look at these Aaron Wiggins, and then you look at our second group of guys, J-Dub, Jang, J-Will, and Chet. We want to see how these guys play and maintain that professional habit together. But our second-year guys, man, the type of improvement I've seen in this one game and summer league games is truly spectacular. JRE is going to be a menace to society this year. I'm telling you right now, guys, he's going to be one of those guys that people are going to take a step back and be like, what the fuck, right? Because
even the Nuggets were doing it. They were like, Jang's, oh, he'd be a great backup five or a starting four. Like the Nuggets announcers were like, they're salivating, and he didn't really even show much last night.
You're right. And if you think about when we have out there, we have Poku, right? We have J-Dub together, J-Will, and Bazley all at one time out there together, you know, forward heavy. But you see this right here. You got Poku right here. You've got JRE. Who's got the ball, Mark? Josh Giddey.
He's getting downhill.
Right? Okay, so JRE is making it clear he's about to come set a screen. Okay. And this is what I love about JRE and the way that we're running our offense is that what I call the ghost screen. But go ahead and push play, Mark, on this.
All right. By the way, we're going to let him play through. This is all 9 of Josh Giddey's assists.
So oh, great. Sweet. We'll talk about them all. Here we go. Boom. The ghost screen right there, man. I love it.
Right. Finish through contact for JRE. Big time play. All right. So we got Giddey on the break. He loves getting out there into the open spot. And then one hand bounce pass to, once again, JRE for a dunk this time.
That's going
to
be such a fun connection.
Of the best passes I've seen in a long time. Well, since Josh Giddey played last, right? And
I just don't know why Bazley didn't go up right away with that.
Here, I'm going to pause this real quick and just talk about with Giddey. Something that somebody said with, talking about the AFL, yeah. Australian football, footy as we call it, right? Like, he said that you're supposed to pass the ball to open space because an uncontested pass is a better pass than a contested pass. But because footy has such a bigger field, like it's bigger than the gridiron field of American football, right? And it's got such a big field, there's a lot more open space. So moving to open space is really critical. And when you have a point guard who likes to dribble the shit out of the ball, it's almost like you have to go to him to get the ball a lot of times. But with Giddey, if you want the ball, what you'll see here and what we've already noticed a few times is you go to the open space. And Giddey will lead you. He'll know you're open more than you do. So move to the open space. And in doing that, there's opportunities, right? Sometimes you don't even know you're open until he picks up his dribble. But that's not a dead ball move, even though the ball is dead.
Space is so tight, though. Think about this. Space.
Right.
You know, like, boom.
I remember when I was coaching, I always had trouble with players. I would say, a defense will set up, right? And then you'll have your offense, and the offensive player will move, and they'll think, well, okay, we need to do this for the offensive set. We need to move to where the defense is. Move to the open spot. The ball will find you in the open spot. But, you're coaching kids, and it's almost like they think it's like baseball where, that's a base, and you have to go stand there on the base next to the other person, and then we're going to throw the ball. And so many contested balls, but anyway. My point is Josh Giddey is always moving the ball to the open spot. That's the key. And it doesn't mean he's not going to have turnovers, right? But you can handle turnovers when people are making mistakes in doing the right aggressive moves, right? That's the key.
Yeah,
keep your hands ready because the ball is going to find you.
Yeah, and if you look at the way that the top-tier teams in the NBA are designed, we're going to be a lot of teams' kryptonites because we go downhill. We drive hard, and we dish the ball for wide-open threes. And we play defense at a very high level. So a lot of these teams that are going to be playing against us aren't going to be ready for it. And I think it's just going to be one of those things where it's just going to be like, okay, this is what they can do without Shea. This is what they can do with Shea. Oh, and this is what they can do with Chet. You know, listen, people are stoked about Victor like he should be. But if there's one person that could stop him in the league or will be in the league in the NBA, it's Chet.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be his kryptonite. So we're talking about kryptonite out here. The reality is this team is designed for that. And if you look at the way that we played even last night with Coach D and how he's been able to motivate these guys, I saw 90-second increments where we didn't play well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't 3 or 4 minutes like we saw last year, the year before. It was 90 seconds, boom, snapped out of it. And typically it was generated by a substitution that he made. You know, and seeing that, I was really fucking impressed with the way that Coach D played or coached last night or 2 nights ago. Listen, I totally get it. And I totally respect those people out there that are saying it's only a summer league game. It's only preseason. I get that. But good coaching is good fucking coaching. You can't disguise even preseason when a team has a bad coach. You can't disguise that. You can watch a team play and say that they have a shitty ass motherfucking coach.
Yeah.
Coach D, Coach Degnaut is for real, bro. He is a premier coach in the league, and it is going to be on fleek this next year for sure.
All right, man. I agree, dude. We got some Trey Mann three-pointer highlights here. He was scoring all sorts of different ways, but his shot from behind the arc looked as good as I've ever seen it. Last year, he showed the capacity to do great things in short spurts. The question is, can he become more consistent? And without, once again, getting too excited over a preseason game, I saw him going into things that he does really well, a lot faster, a lot smoother, and he looks bigger to me. He looks like he's continued to grow.
Sure.
That was something he kind of alluded to, that he might still be growing when we drafted him. What do you think, bro?
Oh, yeah. I think he's put on at least an inch, maybe an inch and a half, if not more, because you see him next to Jang, and Jang is a legit 6'10". And, you know, like, he does not look like 4 inches shorter than him. So I think there is definitely an opportunity that he did grow there. And I'm excited about that because, let's just put it out there, Trey Mann, to me, is one of those wild cards. If he turns out to be as good as we think he could be, you know, like, again, we're talking about one of the most solid bench teams in the league, and all of a sudden adding these pieces, like, we're not going to have enough space for them. And I love that.
So here we are, going to watch a couple of Josh Giddey threes. He made both of them, bro. And there's been a lot of talk about this new coach, Chip England. And I don't think I can see anything that's different about Giddey's shot, but...
Yes.
Other than it went in.
So much, bro.
Like,
it's the ball.
We'll take it.
All right, listen. Remember his shot last year where we were like, there's like a hitch in it almost, like he's going up and it's like, it was like almost a pause, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing here, bro. Like, go back. Just go back, like, go slow. Can you go slow? I don't think you can go slow-mo. But if you could, I would want to see this in slow-mo because of the way that, like, he goes up. And what I noticed, there was no hitch. There was no, like, anything like that. It was just pure, like, just beautiful movement. Nothing. Nobody's coming.
Look, it's like he's been working with his
look
mom.
Look at that, bro.
A bit too.
And he's squared up. He follows through. Yeah, bro. His shot is looking beautiful. Like, this is all
and
this hard work.
It's true transition.
Yeah.
Right.
And he doesn't take his – I mean, it's a quick shot, man. That's not a slow shot.
Yeah. Well –
it's not like Kevin Garnett taking a shot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about, bro.
Oh, like, it's so
like
exciting.
A lot. And one of those things that we really like to get pumped up about, bro, is Lindy Waters.
Love that kid,
speaking
man.
Of smooth shots, you know, we talk about Giddey so far. We're talking about Trey Mann. You know, knocking down shots. But here's Lindy Waters out there just really giving everybody in Oklahoma something to be proud of. What a pure shot. And then he comes back and he knocks one down from, like, the exact same place in the exact same play. Like, they're like, we're not going to take you seriously. I mean,
it's
those shots
shot.
Won us the game, bro.
It's a pure shot.
Like, hey. I know we won by more than that, but they were, like, going to give us a legit – contest, you know,
give you guys you know, all your listeners from Australia that are in New Zealand that are listening to us and all over the world, Lindy Waters from the Oklahoma City Thunder, he played with Trey Young in high school. All right, guys.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of video of them playing together out there. They looked great together, and you can see the shooting mechanics are there for Lindy Waters. And I want to ask too, I know we have a lot of listeners out there from Oklahoma. Somebody get in touch with us. They talked about where Lindy Waters grew up in the area that he grew up, and also what Native American tribe he belongs to. I would love to know more information about that because the way that he plays and the way that he hustles, I get really, really excited about what he can do as an individual. And I really hope that he's going to be on this team for a lot longer. And, you know, as the process goes, like, I like to know more and more about these informations. I know that he went to more as in high school and stuff like that, but I don't know where he went in grade school or anything else like that.
Yeah,
and
it was actually – he was at Norman. I think Norman North.
Oh, Norman North. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
So, again, like, I'm one of those guys that just like to know the history of each of these players. And if you guys have any information on Lindy Waters, I would love to know about it. So reach out to us.
Right on, man. And this is some highlights here of Josh Giddey's – all of his buckets, and then we're going to go ahead and call it. We have so much more to talk about, but we got to move past the Thunder. So this is all of his shots. So you're going to see a couple of the shots you already saw his three-point makes, but I think it's just impressive his variety of shot-making ability. This was a really a great game for him. I feel like with everything that's happened this summer, it's become once again apparent that he's going to have to step up in a different way. Well, that was just two shots there, so I'm not exactly sure what happened to the rest, but like, let's face it, like, we're benefiting from all of his work,
yep,
hard work over the summer, but also the experience that he's put in from last year.
Yeah.
Like, you can see, like, he understands when he has the defender at a disadvantage, and he knows what to do this year. Coming into the season, I felt like last year, when you watch him, like, he would get out there, and the first thing he would do is be like, get the ball and pound it, the rock in, and try to go as fast as he could. And just always trying to create tempo.
Yeah.
Right. This year he knows when he has the step or not. And then he goes and he uses that same aggression, but he knows when. I think that's one of the biggest things that you see about him. And then all of a sudden you mix in the fact that, like, J-Dub is where he's at. Like, I think we already have our, like, I was like, man, it's tough to see Teo Maledon go. I wish we were going to keep him, but J-Dub took his spot, bro.
He did.
There was, like, he pushed everything around, and now we're looking at it like, maybe I'm wrong about who took whose spot, but in the end, J-Dub has me so excited about that second point guard role. It's incredible. He's really good.
Yeah. And before we get going anywhere else, I just want to talk about Kenny Hustle effect real fast. We watch bodies hit the floor all fucking night. Guys taking charges, guys trying to take charges. Trey Mann's on the floor taking a charge and got called for a non-charge. Listen, this is not a coincidence. All right, this is going to be seen all over the NBA a whole lot more. The charge is becoming more part of the game, and that's why when we see Kenny Hustle teach his guys how to do this, it's important to have somebody like Jay Will, who is probably the greatest charge taker in college history, in college basketball history. So I look at this and I say, this is going to be exciting watching this team, because we're going to cause so many teams such massive fucking headaches. We're going to frustrate fans like they're like nobody's business, because what we do is we're like a little fucking cockroach, and we just crawl right into some area and we just have babies everywhere. And we're going to fuck up teams right and left this year. And if anybody thinks that we're not going to win 30 games, you just guys don't understand really where we're at right now. And I'm glad you pulled this up, because this is how Mark and I played basketball when we were growing up. All right, man.
Well, bully ball.
Bully ball right here, man. Mark would be talking shit to me as a smaller guy. Mad shit. Get me a little pissed off, right? And I'm like, stop it. All right, that's it, motherfucker. You're going down.
Yep.
Every time, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That was about it, man.
That's it, man. Mark would be beating me.
Beating up on your brother and feeling like Shaq.
4-0, 5-0 in a game to 11, and I would just start beating you up, and then I would end up winning. So
that's the truth, man. And look,
I feel bad about it. You know, but
that's what they're gonna try to do. The Thunder.
That's it. They're
gonna be like, oh, you're young. We're gonna bully you, but we got guys with skills, man, and we're gonna be fucking them up. They don't know it, man. They don't know it yet.
We're going to be coming at them from all angles.
Yeah. They're still looking at us and saying, oh, they're young. Well, we're ready to fight, bro. We are ready to fucking fight.